Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. My name is Dave Charest, content manager here at Constant Contact, and today I'm drinking some sort of magic hat beer. I don't even know what the heck it is, but it's delicious. So it's got something scary on it, too, for Halloween. Yay!
It says, a liquid dance through life's trance.
Ooh. That's really all you need to know.
Right.
special guest with us here today from the UK, Miss Tamsin Fox Davies. How are you today? Thanks for joining us.
I am good, thank you.
Great to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Who else is in the room with us today?
I'm Kristen Curtis, social media specialist, and I am drinking a U of L pumpkin. It's delicious.
I am Danielle Cormier, and I'm the social media community manager here, and I'm drinking a Mike's Hard Lemonade, but it's a little too sweet for me. It's okay.
Wah, wah. I'm Eric Ayotte. I head up the social media team here, and I'm drinking a Magic Hat number 9. Always a classic.
Number 9. So today we're talking about the idea of going from social media to face-to-face events and how important that really is. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about the importance of using social media for business and connecting with customers, but one of the most powerful things that you really shouldn't overlook is this idea of moving beyond the virtual world and really to meeting your customers and people in person and how those can really help cement those relationships and help move your business forward and help you grow. Just recently, Constant Contact hosted the first annual OneCon conference for our solution providers. And, you know, for me, I mean, it's just really, really great being in the room with those folks. Anything stick out from that event from the folks who went to it?
Yeah, sure. I guess I'll start. So just hearing those questions that our solution providers had directly from them and how it might be different than what we might thought that their concerns might be was really, really important.
Oh, I agree completely. I think, too, the solution providers themselves found it a huge benefit because a lot of them had different strengths. Most of them are consultants in some way or another, but a lot of them are you know, a consultant in this area and then another one's over here. So it actually gave them a chance to network and almost like cross-pollinate their businesses and start to work together, which was really cool. And you wouldn't have known that if you weren't having a face-to-face conversation.
Yeah. That's actually really a great point, right? That's one of the major benefits is you're meeting these new people. You really start to develop these partnerships that you can form with other people that kind of help move your business ahead because you're able to fill a hole that another person may not be able to fill with their business when they're meeting with new customers. Tamsin, what about you?
I was going to agree with that and say something that I really liked was actually seeing the amplification because we were using the OneCon hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've certainly noticed with events in the UK, you get much better uptake of people in the room using the tag if you actually have a tweet wall. So if you're showing the stream of tweets that actually have that hashtag in, which we did, we had a projector and a screen that just did that. And then actually picking up, like, you know, maybe seeing some of my followers back in the UK retweeting some of the tips and stuff and seeing that it really, you know, did spread much further. And that was really great. I saw that happened a few times.
You know, there's something that happens with that, too. As you mentioned, we're kind of spreading the word and people are retweeting things that they're seeing happening at the event. I think that builds some type of desire, too, for the folks that when you run the event again, be like, hey, you know, that looked like a lot of fun. Or a lot of great stuff coming out of there that they'll probably want to attend that event if you do it again. You know?
Yeah, a lot of the people that were going to be attending our event in San Francisco, the same similar event in a couple of weeks, were saying, oh, I'm so excited for it now after seeing the photos and the images that were tweeted out
great.
And shared on Facebook. So I thought that was really great to see.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I hear the argument against the tweet fall or the Twitter wall, as you called it, Tamsin, is that it distracts people from the speaker. And I don't think that's true. What I think what it does is it takes the best points of what the speaker is saying and really amplifies them. And you can really, and as a speaker, it's really interesting to see what gets amplified because then you can say, oh, wow, those were the parts of what I was talking about that really resonated with the audience the most. Next time I talk about this or maybe in the next blog post I write or whatever it is, I'll make sure to hit on those points.
Especially if you're doing those types of things. Like recently I just attended Content Marketing World and the master of this was really was Jay Baer. I don't know if you guys know him at all, but every slide of his was like a little a tweet, like a sound bite. It was like anything that came up and said, it's like, oh, I gotta tweet that. I gotta tweet. Like, so everybody was like, it was really like, if you can think in those like sound bites and make something sound intriguing and really interesting, that people are gonna tweet that stuff and it's gonna spread the word about.
So Erica actually did that. Like, I tweeted. Erica's full of tweetables. Like, almost every other word was, or every other sentence, excuse me, was like 140 characters.
Yep.
I dream in tweets.
Yeah.
Good job for you. Because honestly, too, I was looking at the graphs, and during Erica's presentation, there was the highest spike, and I think that is one of the main reasons, too, because she made it very easy for you to tweet, and I think that if you start to think in that way, it's easy to do a presentation, because people don't want to hear you rambling on and on anyway. They want those short thoughts,
right. Yeah.
So it works out really well for everyone if you do that.
I also ask people to tweet during it, so that's, I think, one other point about, you know, bringing offline, online, all that kind of stuff, is that when you're running an event, there's a lot of things that you need to do in person to make sure that people know that they can use social media while they're there. So, for example, like on the badges, we had the hashtag, and, you know, a lot of other conferences, they'll have their Twitter handle and the Wi-Fi password, and they will have signs up encouraging people to tweet and making sure that your handle and the hashtag are on the slides, that sort of stuff, integrating those, like, real life pieces. So, I mean, I know that, you know, you're running events all the time, Tamsin, in the UK. Like, what are some of the things that you do, I guess, to ensure that people are active socially during your events?
Well, all the things that you've mentioned, but also sometimes what I'll do is actually, if we have a tweet wall, which we frequently do, I will actually pull some stuff out of there. And it's been amazing. I have seen people, like, because you can always spot the new tweeters because they have the little egg. They've got the egg still. Yeah. They haven't put their picture up. And there will be some people who have opened a Twitter account, but they only actually start tweeting in that event because they really want to see their name up there. And sometimes we'll go there and, like, I'll have someone watching it and actually saying, okay, well, these are the things that are coming up. But I think just on another point, which is about the preparation, and one of the things that made your presentation particularly tweetable was not just the fact that you had short points, but it was also thinking about what people want to actually share and what they think is worth sharing with their followers. And so because you had a lot of tips and that kind of thing, that's much more tweetable than, you know, the earnings forecast for blah, 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 blah.
I think what you said about reminding people that it's okay to tweet or encouraging them is a good idea, because people might think that they're being rude by looking down at their phones or their computers, but if they're tweeting, then that's okay. And if I was presenting, looking at the audience, and they're on their phones, I just assume, oh, they're tweeting or sharing this, or maybe taking notes and not being rude. Like,
absolutely.
It's really about just giving them permission, right? Saying, look, it's okay to do this. I think we've kind of grown up in a world where, you know, it's like using your phone or doing things is, like, considered rude, and you don't want to do that. So I think a lot of times people come in with the, oh, no, I'm going to pay attention, or not pay attention, but not do anything that looks like I'm not paying attention. You know, so we're talking about this idea of really taking people from online to offline, which is really obviously great to deepen those relationships. But also, I mean, there's valid points to also thinking about when you have people in the room with you who aren't maybe necessarily connected with you online, to getting those people also to connect with you there. It's kind of the circle of life, if you will, right? So, I mean, what's really important about going that way as well?
Well, I think one of the reasons that I use Twitter so heavily is because I think it's a great entree to LinkedIn. So a lot of times during, you know, even an event, or even if there are certain people and, you know, influencers in your industry that you want to meet, you know, having a conversation with someone on Twitter that you don't know is really common. Sending a LinkedIn invite to someone that you don't know at all is, you know, somewhat frowned upon.
Right.
So a Twitter introduction, whether that's, you know, at an event or not, can be a great entree to that LinkedIn introduction, which is, like, a little bit more of a deeper connection in my mind.
Yeah, I think that's true. And something else as well that I think is a great way to do that, and it comes back to, I once went to a speaker training course, and they said if you want to have a good audience, you have to be a good audience. So, you know, about listening, paying attention, asking questions, all that stuff. But something that I noticed was that there were a number of the speakers that were actually actively tweeting when they weren't on the stage, which I think really helped, and then people were more keen to tweet their stuff. And then also, because we had that fab keynote from Mike Michalowicz of The Pumpkin Plan, Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, lots of people have heard of him. But, you know, I had tweeted because I was excited to be seeing him, hashtag fangirl. He actually bothered to reply to people that had actually used his name in the tweet.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really nice. You know, it's it's not one of these, because I now have more respect for him because of that. It's not like he just blew in, like, did his razzle-dazzle and then ran away with nary a thought for anyone else. And I think that kind of
thoughtfulness.
Thoughtfulness and, like, a continuum, because it's not, you know, we tell people all the time, social media is not a broadcast medium. It is an engagement medium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that goes both ways.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that he actually replied to me a day later, and I've had solution providers still using the hashtag now a week later. Is that a week later, 2, 4 days? Anyway, doesn't matter.
Feels like it was long.
The point is that they're still using it, right? So it's still a means to further conversation with your customers, your clients, or whatever. The other thing is, too, is a lot of presenters forget to show where they are on social media. So I think one of the best things for you to do to begin your presentation is you can find me on Facebook here, on Twitter here, on LinkedIn here. And you people will then get to know you through your presentation and your tweeting throughout the event. And then they'll find you and you can continue those conversations. And I think that that's a really big point is don't let them find you and then just stop. Like, the conversation needs to continue.
One of the things I thought was really great was the ability to kind of value add to the conversation, too. Because I know during, like, the Q&A periods, there were a lot of questions that were coming up. And I was like, oh, we've got a blog post on that question that somebody
asked. That was great.
I was like, oh, you know what? We've got this. Here's more on that. So it gives people the opportunity to kind of deeper engage with that particular question.
You did that with the Instagram question, right?
It was like Instagram.
Yeah,
there was a couple other questions that I put up there, too. Yeah, so like,
yeah, that's a great point. If you have multiple people at your event that, you know, and I think that's really where the power and, like, the, I hate to use this word, but I guess, like, the magic of social media is that in real time you can respond with something so valuable that's just, it's really just being aware.
Yep.
You know, really having your eyes open and understanding what, like, the landscape is. And you being like, oh, you know, Instagram question. Oh, wait, we have a resource on that. And really connecting those dots in real time. That's really hard to teach. But, you know, if you can start thinking in that sort of way, I think that's, again, like a nice value add.
I think, yeah, exactly. It's just thinking, how can you add value to this conversation? So how can you help out? So, I mean, obviously we're talking about a conference, right? But other small businesses, you know, obviously a conference may not be the right thing. But, like, what are some of the other types of events that people can run to just, you know, maybe get people into the store or just do something? Any ideas?
You could do a demonstration if your product can be demonstrated, maybe a cooking store, or even if you sell things that help to cook, maybe you want to do a little demonstration that way, or if you have some kind of product that is computer related and you could show them how to use it.
Any sort of education, right? Yeah. Classes, that sort of stuff.
I think that's the idea, yeah. Like anything that, I know there's a local, I think like it's a painting class or course that they do at like a local bar or something like that. So you actually
wine and painting.
Wine and painting, exactly. Mm-hmm. So there's like a great way to get people into a local business
then.
And do or something.
Right.
Abstract.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the other thing too that the other area is anything with a brick and mortar location. I think encouraging you know, check-ins of any sort, whether that's Facebook, whether that's Foursquare, whether that's reminding people to tweet that they're there, really gets, you know, takes advantage of an opportunity, people.
Yeah.
If you're like hosting some sort of, say you're a small theater or a small cinema or something like that, getting people excited. You want to let your friends know that you're doing this cool thing at this cool place.
Yeah.
I am obsessed with unboxing, like, stuff. So
that's great, yeah. I was just watching some of those last night.
When people open up something new, whether it's, you know, a promotional gift or the one, and this says so much about me,
scared.
Yeah. Don't be. On this occasion. I had come across a company called Gower Cottage Brownies, who are based in the UK, in Wales, on the Gower Peninsula. And I knew of them, but it wasn't until I saw a food photographer who had won a competition and been sent a box of their brownies that I saw her photos. She'd blogged about it and then tweeted the blog of, like, opening up this gorgeous packet of brownies and my mouth is watering now. And that's when I started ordering them. I ordered some for me and then I started sending them as gifts. And so it doesn't have to be your traditional, like, tech thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It can actually be, it could be just about anything. It could be, you know, the experience of arriving at an event. It could be like just, you know, just a showcase of like a little vine of who's actually there and showing that they're normal, friendly people. They do not have three heads, all of that kind of stuff that encourages people.
Or if you're
to
at a con,
back.
That they're actually that really
they
weird
have
people.
Three heads.
They do have three heads, right?
What also was really cool about thinking of this way of using both social media and, you know, face-to-face interactions is that it's really, you know, for the folks that you're meeting for the first time online, like you're having conversations, you're engaging with them, and you're talking back and forth. When you do meet them face-to-face, it's almost, I always like to equate it to, it's like almost like a high school reunion. It's like, it's like, oh, it's great to, like, finally see you. Like, you know, it's like you're kind of cutting down on that awkward stage that it becomes like just like, all right, here we are, let's get started, as opposed to, hey, it's nice to meet you, let's warm up, let's get to know each other. It's like you already kind of do.
You have context for the
person. You know, so it's really great. So I think, you know, just the to leave people with the final idea is just really think about how you can take it from social media and then bring that relationship deeper by actually meeting people and getting in the same room with people. That'll really help your business get to the next tweet ups. That's a great way to do it too. Yeah, also a great tip. So if you've got any ideas or ways that you've met people and brought those relationships from online to offline, let us know in the comments, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks, Tamsin. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye now.